Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We are here in the second hour of the show, and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Charles is up next. Hey, Charles.
Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing, sir?
We are doing well. Thank you.
All right, this is my second time calling. I listen to your show while I'm out here riding sometime and working.
Thank you.
I'm a Georgia fan. And also, I respect Nick Saban as a coach. But the thing with Nick Saban at Alabama is, Alabama fans make their university look bad. That's just my opinion. I'm not speaking for anyone else. A lot of things that the fans do and the fans say make that university look bad. Now, I want to touch on some life stuff. I hope you don't rush me. I'm a middle-aged, I'm in my mid-50s black man from a small town in Georgia. I was raised by a mother that taught me to treat everybody as equal. But, Paul, if I can be frank and honest with you, we as black people will never be treated equal because of racism, politics, and just the way certain people look at things. I'm a firm believer in, I got friends of all races. I'm a retired military vet. I've been all over the world. I've worked with all kinds of people. But at the end of the day, I know if me and you is in a venue somewhere and there's something going on, I'm not going to be looked at as equal to you because I'm black. I don't care who don't agree with it and who's going to say I'm wrong. But this is just life in general. Since the beginning of the time, there's been racism. It's not a secret. I was at that national championship game. Had a blast. And I will be 100% honest with you. I was around more people that wasn't black that had a blast because sports bring people together. When you're at a venue, your race or creed don't hold no merit at all. Everybody is there to have a good time. But once you leave, if something happens outside that venue, it's going to turn. Okay, now, I'm not just a black man that was at a game with you. I'm going to be looked at as a bad person. This is my opinion, Paul, not everybody else. I'm just speaking for myself. And as far as politics, will never be the same until the guy that was the last president move on. And that's all I got to say.
Well, Charles, if I could talk to you for a second, I would appreciate you giving me one moment to respond. Not to what you said, because I respect deeply what you've shared with us, and the honesty is painful to hear, even though I know it's true. But I am curious about what you mean when you, in terms of us moving forward. And I'm not trying to give you some kumbaya speech.
Right.
I watch the same news that you do, and I follow politics very closely, and it is very disturbing. You're right.
Okay.
But I'm trying to understand, though. I'm struggling because I do understand what you're saying, and I just want you to explain a little bit more why you feel so uncomfortable, because I understand there are situations where blacks would feel uncomfortable, but I'm concerned about how prevailing this seems to be.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm 54 years old. I was born during the Civil Rights era. I don't remember none of it because I was born during it. But, and like I said, I did 20 years in the military. I've witnessed this in the military and outside the military. We as black people will never be treated equal. Even though this is just like people look at it and see bad black people, there's bad white folks too. There's white folks that other white people won't fool with. Just like there's black people that other black people won't fool with, because that's just how life is. You can't say that I'm saying all this to try to get sympathy, and then I'm saying this because
well Charles, do me this, and I'm. Is it a feeling? Is there an example? And I'm not trying to pull teeth here. I'm just trying to better understand what you're talking about.
It's as simple as this. We, as a black race, will never get treated as an equal to any other race. I can't say it in a simple like this. I've been in a situation that I've been treated different because I'm black. If you're not black, you probably can't relate to it. I wouldn't understand what I'm trying to say without going too deep or without giving details of what actually happened. Being from the South, you can detect this stuff from a distance. It ain't like you got to try to figure people out. If you was raised in it, you can see it. And you can feel it. It's like a feeling. I mean, it's hard to explain. It's like if you wasn't raised in it, you don't know what I'm trying to say right now, I guess. But Paul, at the same time, I would treat you the way I would expect you to treat me. But do I always get that in return? No.
But tell me, are you saying I understand they're outliers, Charles? I do.
Okay.
But. I mean, I'm really cautious to say anything because you've already told me how you feel, and there's no way I can convince you. There's no reason why I should try to convince you. I'm just trying to understand it. That's all.
I guess the simplest answer I can give you is everybody's not like you. That's the simplest answer I can give you.
Well, but
everybody's not like you.
I consider myself really fortunate, though, Charles, because I was brought up in a house where that type of conversation was not tolerated, it was forbidden. And I grew up in the South, of course I heard it. I heard it all around me. There's no getting around it in the era that I grew up in. But all I know is how but I also know everyone else wasn't brought up the same way.
Right. You're correct. I agree with that 100%. Like I say, it's not everybody, but I'm going to say, give you a percentage. If I had to give you a percentage, I'm going to say 60% of people of other races will never see a black person as equal to them in anything. No matter what a black person's status is, no matter how much money you got, no matter what your position is, you black, you still beneath me. That's just what it is. Prime example. We had a black president. Can you tell me how many people actually respected that president, or percentage-wise? We had a black president.
But I ask you this, Charles. Was that based more on his race or his politics?
His race.
Okay.
Actually, both. Because there's a lot of stuff he did that we as black people didn't approve of. So that he's going to do everything that he's supposed to do for black people? That's not true. But what I'm trying to explain to you is he's always going to be looked down upon because of his skin color. Plain and simple. And as far as politics goes, if you sit and think about it, most of these senators, congressmen, VPs, and presidents, you got to think about this. before they're even elected, they're already millionaires. They already got money. So all these laws and stuff, all these laws and stuff that they're trying to move forward and get approved, they're not concerned about most of these laws and all this stuff. This is not going to help their district or help their family or help their people. Every last one of them going to vote against it because they're already millionaires. They look at us. When I say us, I'm not saying a race. I'm saying people that's not in politics in general. They look at people that's not in politics as peasants. And if they're not going to vote for my law, I'm going to strike it down. Because we already got our money. We're already millionaires. So forget about what they want. If this is not going to benefit me or my family in the long term, I'm not going to vote on it because I'm not going to get anything out of it. This is just my opinion. I'm not speaking for anybody else. I'm just speaking for myself. I just want to make that clear.
Well, Charles, I want to thank you for calling, and I appreciate your honesty and your service and what you believe in. And I hope we've opened up a dialogue here that will get other people thinking about themselves, because none of it can change what you've experienced, but maybe it can affect those beyond you, your children and their children.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you very, very much for calling.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You take care of yourself. Thank you, Charles. We'll take a short break and be back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back, and Ray is up next in New Mexico. Hello, Ray.
Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. What did I talk or what did I do, sir?
I wish you would. Yeah, go right ahead, Ray.
Okay. All right. I just I take a little offense to the guys from Georgia because I'm from Kentucky. My family is a mix everything. I've done the military. I work for the railroad. I've done every dirty job in America, and I work harder than anybody I know. And I do not discriminate against people. My granddaughter is half black. I would die for her every day. And I just don't believe. I think the people that keep pushing the racism are trying to keep it alive. I don't see it anymore.
Yeah, how can you have your story, and I respect that, but how can you tell him what he believes and what he senses and what he feels?
Well, I can't, sir. That's right. Exactly right. I can't. And my granddaughter feels things, and so I'm constantly trying to work with her because, I mean, they do feel it. It is real to them, but I don't think it's real if we would let it go.
But Ray, forget, it doesn't matter whether we let it go or not, but if you're, and I hate to use convoluted examples, but it's a matter of what you see, and I think what he was referring to is When white people look at others, what do they see? Do they see someone that they feel comfortable around, or do they see someone that their antennas go up, especially if they're in an awkward position or a place? I appreciate your call, though. I can't tell you how to believe either. I don't want to. Nathan is up next in Alabama. Hello, Nathan.
Hello. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
No, to piggyback off what they said, I think this Charles was raised that way. I think that he was raised by his family to think that they're in a bad light, and they're really not. You know, I was in a poor home, poor family. I was able to go to school just like he was. I have thousands of dollars of bills for college, and I graduated from the University of Alabama. And he had the same opportunity and didn't do it. And then he wants to blame everybody else because of the skin color, and I don't agree with it. I'm sorry. And I love everybody.
Yeah, I don't know if he wants to. Listen, I can't speak for him. I think he was very self-explanatory in terms of what he was trying to say. He was really mainly talking about a level of comfort around people, and he used as recently as last Monday night in as really an example of how sports changes the dynamics. But I appreciate your call. This was a conversation I did not expect for us to be going down today, but that's okay. Hey, thank you, Nathan. Appreciate it. You take care of yourself. Let's continue with more phone calls. Wyatt is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Wyatt.
Hi, Paul. How are you today, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to kind of chime in from a perspective of an African-American male, 60 years old, Paul, and I've lived a great life in this country. But at the same time, I have experienced the things that the caller was calling about. America is not everything it should be, not yet. It's still evolving to that. And I pray, I have children, and I want them to be one day truly live in the country that it can truly be to its fullest. And we're still, and like I said, evolving to get there. We just celebrated King's Day, and that dream is still alive. It's still evolving, and I do believe with Godspeed, we will get there, Paul.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident, too, Wyatt. And I think sometimes we cherry pick when we use specific examples. And quite frankly, I don't think Barack Obama is really the best example to use. because it didn't matter what his color was. The politics of today are not going to be kind to anyone who you don't agree with.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's been proven. Hey, thank you very much for your call, and I appreciate what you had to say there. Andre is up next. Hello, Andre.
Coach Paul Feinbaum. You know, Coach, I've always enjoyed your show. I remember the first time I heard you. I was coming from my home in Vicksburg, Mississippi, back to my home in Atlanta. And when I got to the Georgia line, I lost you. But boy, yeah, it is true. And every time I would come across, I would look for your show. But man, are we so glad we got you on satellite. You know, I always enjoy your show. I always enjoy your interview. And tell Jim to calm down. I like Jim. He's going to give himself a stroke or a heart attack. Tell him don't take it that seriously. Life is too short.
Yeah, but now, I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, Jim's still a young man. I don't think he has to worry about heart trouble at his age.
Right. Now, one thing I disagree with your previous caller, Keith, on is that racism is not in our DNA. It's something that's passed down by word of mouth from one generation to the next. And that's basically how it is. It's all over the country. I've lived in Northern California, Southern California, Atlanta, Baton Rouge, and back to Atlanta. I worked all over Central and Southern Iraq. I've been to Dubai many times. It's all over the world, whether one religion is against another or one race against another. But we're going to swim together, or we will drown together. But as always, Coach Feinbaum, I enjoy your show. And, you know, sometimes people make you mad or you get a little agitated, but you never, never take it personal or you cut the people down. And in order to be a gracious winner, you have to learn to be a gracious loser, because that shows your true character. Is not when you're on top of the mountain, but when you're in the valley. But thanks, Coach Feinbaum, for taking my call.
Thank you very, very much. We head to the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll talk about the dogs next as we head to Georgia.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hard to believe it's only been a week and a day since the Dogs won the national championship. A lot of reaction, a lot of movement. Connor Riley joining us now. And Connor, good to have you with us. I'm sure for you covering this team, it has been dizzying trying to keep up with all the moves. How are you and what's going on over there?
Yeah, you know, it's the price of winning a national championship. And I will gladly take that. It was an absolute blast to cover the team this year. And with all that comes with that, you have a lot of guys moving on to the NFL. Also, in this new age, you have a lot of guys who are looking to play elsewhere and move on elsewhere, and that all sort of gets backed up with how late the season goes. So there's been a ton of roster turnover, and there's probably going to be some more in the coming days and weeks as Georgia continues to try to figure out its 85-man roster for next year.
Let's talk about the quarterback situation. What does it look like right now?
So Dog Nation had reported yesterday that JT Daniels is expected to enter the transfer portal. He has not formally done that, but the expectation exists for him to enter the portal. I think Stetson Bennett at this point is going to end up returning for Georgia next year, and my guess would be that he has the inside track to being the starter. Now, I do think Kirby Smart is going to have an open quarterback competition to try and see what they can get out of younger players like a Carson Beck, like a Brock Vandergriff. But right now, with the way it is looking, with JT Daniels entering the transfer portal, I expect Stetson Bennett to be back starting next year, and in all likelihood, be starting on September 3rd for Georgia when they take on Oregon.
Connor, what happened to JT Daniels after the injury?
You know, I think part of it is this team really believed in Stetson, and one of the more telling moments of this season to me, looking back on it, was after the Florida game, which one of Stetson's two worst games of the season was intercepted twice. Nolan Smith, who announced yesterday that he was coming back, came on after the game and told reporters, hey, Stetson's our guy. We believe in Stetson as a player. And I think from that moment on, and sort of the public declaration that this team believes in Stetson, this team backs Stetson, it was going to be really hard for JT to get back into the mix. And, you know, with what Stetson did, and I think his mobility played into some of the strengths and weaknesses with this Georgia team this year. The offensive line, for as well as they played the national championship game, was not a great unit, I would say. And Stetson's mobility, where if JT's lack of mobility, I think made the decision there. And I mean, the reality is, other than really one bad half against Alabama, Stetson really never gave coaches the reason to make the full blown change back to JT Daniels. And I think the biggest thing is just Stetson never gave Georgia a full blown reason to go back to JT Daniels after he had been inserted as a starting quarterback.
If you have any idea or inkling, where do you think he is looking?
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, a lot of the transfer portal chairs have already changed. You have, you know, Keaton Slovis, his former teammate at USC, enter and end up at Pitt. You have Jackson Dart, who's in the portal. You have Caleb Williams, who is still in the portal. This is nothing more than speculation, but Clay Helton, his former head coach at USC, is now the head coach at Georgia Southern. It would not surprise me to necessarily see JT Daniels go down to Georgia Southern in Statesboro, Georgia, and maybe be the quarterback there, have some familiarity with the head coach that he's working with, and have the trust factor there to reestablish himself as a guy who could be one of the more talented quarterbacks in college football.
Yeah, amazing to think Southern Cal to Georgia, Heisman favorite or co-favorite to Georgia Southern, playing for his ex-coach at Southern Cal. Connor, Kirby Smart was interesting watching some of the video of him Saturday. Just your observations on the difference in Kirby Smart now that he has been unshackled and the criticism has evaporated.
Yeah, internally, I don't think Kirby has changed all that much. I think certainly from, you know, an external standpoint, there's a sense of relief. You see a lot of the now or never narrative go away because Georgia has, in fact, won a national championship. But, you know, in his speech at the end of it, it didn't so much sound like a, hey, I'm thrilled we did this. This is a great team. This is a great accomplishment. This is something that we're going to always look back on with fondness and reverence here at the University of Georgia. His ending words were, we're going to burn the boats again because we're going to be back. And it sounded like sort of a declaration of this is something that's going to happen much more routinely than, say, the 41-year gap that Georgia saw between national titles previously. And I'll point out, Kirby Smart was on that Alabama staff when they first won in 2009. And, you know, that next year, 2010, a team that is arguably as talented as the 2019 took a step back, went 10-3 that season. But then you see after that, those next 2 years, they win a championship in 2011, they win a championship in 2012. I think next year there's going to be a small reload. I think Alabama is the runaway favorite to win the national title next season. Quite frankly, on, I guess, January 18th, I'd be shocked if they didn't win it. But this is a Georgia team and a Georgia program that Kirby Smart is building that is going to be able to sustain and be in the college football playoff every year and then in certain years hit it correctly and win a national championship.
Talking to Connor Riley, you mentioned next season. Certainly we know what won't be there, some monster players. That's a compliment, by the way, across the board. You said a slight transition. I can't remember your exact words, but how would you characterize this team with Stetson Bennett? And that should sound reassuring, the hero of this season, but will it sound reassuring by the time we get to the season for many fans?
Yeah, I can tell you the fan base will not exactly be thrilled that Stetson Bennett is back as the starting quarterback, but that's just sort of the nature of the beast that comes with it. You don't lose N'Kobe Dean. You don't lose Trayvon Walker. You don't lose Jordan Davis and maintain the level of excellence that you have on the defense. This defense is still going to be very good next year with guys like Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Keeler Ringo, but they're going to take a step back. And really, you need to see this offense, which returns a bulk over the skill players, I think is going to have a better offensive line next year, really take that step forward if they're going to contend to be the national title, you know, not front runner, but in that conversation. But they're going to be favored in every regular season game they play, and there's no reason to think that if they take care of business, if Stetson and this offense take a step forward, if this defense improves over the course of the season, which I think it will, that, you know, come, I guess, you know, December 4th, December 5th, whatever the college football playoff date is next year, Georgia's going to be there right there again. Now, they have to have some major breaks go their way, I think, to get to, say, that Ohio State-Alabama level. But they're going to be a top-five program throughout next season in a schedule that is not all that difficult right now. You have the opening game against Oregon. You have a trip at Mississippi State late in the season, which could be tricky. Tennessee, we'll see. They do come to Athens next year. But the SEC East is still in a period of transition. And Georgia's going to be favored in every game. And the expectation probably later in the season will be make the playoff. And then, as you saw this year, once you make the playoff and you're there, you might as well go win it.
Finally, Connor, as you said that, I'm starting to think, and I realize we're, 6 months away from media days. The schedule, for those who don't have a TV in front of them, it's Oregon at home. That's an interesting matchup against the ex-defensive coordinator, Samford, at Carolina, interesting game there, Kent State, at Missouri, Auburn at home, Vandy, Florida, Tennessee in November, at Mississippi State, at Kentucky. Interesting finish there, and then Georgia Tech. I don't know the answer to this. Who is the biggest challenge in the East to Georgia?
Right now, I'm willing to bet on the year-in, year-out infrastructure that we've seen at Kentucky with Mark Stoops, but at the same point, like, they're not going to beat Georgia. I don't think they're going to beat Georgia with the way they play because Georgia plays a similar style to them. Michigan does as well, and you saw what happened to Michigan in the college football playoff game. I think if Hendon Hooker gets better, if this Tennessee defense make some strides, get some players back, I think they're a team that at least interests me. And, you know, Florida and South Carolina are still, I think, trying to restock and reload. It's a division where, you know, a year or two from now, you see and potentially have some more real threats. But in this season, even with Georgia, I think taking a step back, they're still going to be the class of the SEC East. And to be frank, I don't think they're going to be challenged all that much by the teams in their own division.
Connor, great stuff. Really appreciate it. You be well. We are heading to the break right now. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Cat Daddy is on the air.
Big Paul, you looking good, sounding good. Look here, you're sober and sounding kind of serious today, so I thought I might lighten it up a little bit, but tell me if this is true or not. Alabama beat Tennessee 1 year, and the next year Tennessee fired the coach. Alabama played Arkansas 1 year, beat them, Arkansas fired the coach.
Right.
Tennessee played Auburn, the next year Auburn fired the coach. Now, is there any way you think we can get Alabama to play the White House?
I'll call Coach Saban, see what he thinks.
All right, let me know about that, because that man said that he would never talk about politics, he don't endorse nobody, he don't go there because he don't feel comfortable, and now he done got uncomfortable. I believe you're going to hear some backlash from that type of stuff, but thought I wish to just leave politics out of everything, dadgummit, and just play
well,
the game.
Well, Cat Daddy, you just brought it up.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, if you want to leave politics out of things, don't bring it up.
That's what I say. That's the same thing I say about
okay.
Reagan. Or quit calling everybody white, black, getting red, yellow, and just call us all who are Americans. Work together. As my friend Rufus Thomas once said, it takes both the black keys and the white keys of the piano to play the Star Spangled Banner.
Now, is Rufus Thomas Carla Thomas's father?
Yes, sir. He passed away, oh, Lord, about 9, 10 years
didn't
ago.
Didn't they do Funky Chicken?
He did the Funky Chicken?
Yeah, sure. I remember that song. Right.
Yeah, he was on Stax Records there.
In Memphis. Oh, sure. I knew Rufus, but I didn't. But I remember Stax Records. That was Isaac Hayes, Rufus, Carl. Who else was at Stax? A lot of people.
There was a mess of them. Otis Redding, I think, recorded.
Otis Redding. I mean, you know, nobody important, just Otis Redding.
The big O. Man,
Big O never really got enough credit for what he did.
No, he didn't. And it so passed away in a sad way. But he will never be forgotten, say. He'll never be forgotten.
Sitting on the dock of the day watching the tide roll away.
And they did.
And they did.
And that was a song that was written by, who was the boy that wrote that song? Steve Cropper, who played with Booker T and the MGs.
Now you're talking about a group, Booker T and the MGs.
Man,
you remember them, right?
What, it was great.
They were one of the great side bands of all time.
Yes, sir. Of course, we lost Doug Dunn, passed on. Lord, so many folks I knew down there. I remember Thomas Boggs, who used to be the drummer for the Box Tops.
The Box Tops. Now, I mean, we're going way back when. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Kathy is in Georgia. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. Today is my birthday. I'm 66 years young.
Oh, man, you are still young.
I'm 3 years cancer-free. I won the national championship, or say Georgia won it. But I was wondering if we could talk to producers, Randy and them, and see, like, on media day or something, if we couldn't all tailgate and go to the parking lot out there, and we could have Legend, Jim, and all of us out there. And we'd just have a wonderful time.
I don't know why not. Many years ago, Kathy, we used to do that back when we were in Birmingham. We would get a bunch of callers together for Christmas lunch. And we had a blast doing it, and then it got so big that we ended up having a luncheon every year with a couple hundred people, and then it all ended.
Well, we need to start it again. We could kiss Legend's ring. We could all taste all the different moonshines Cat Daddy had. And we could have different speakers. And we could all learn to live by the golden rule. And we could all sing Jesus Loves All the Little Children, All the Children of the World. And we could all learn to get along for it.
Kathy, how are you, other than this phone call, how are you celebrating your birthday?
Well, I'm talking to you.
Well,
I've already celebrated.
I would think if I'm sitting out there going, what's the best way to celebrate a birthday? Number one on my list would be talking to me.
Exactly, because see, I've already had a national championship.
Hey, listen, happy birthday. We are unfortunately up against a break, but you take care of yourself, and we are back with two more hours.